And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. And happy new year to everybody out there who is super excited about putting the shitty piece of crap, fucking awful 2018 in our rearview mirror and focusing solely on the beautiful future that is 2019 and all the wonders it's probably going to bring us. It's probably going to be amazing. All the horrible shit that happened in 2018. We're not going to rehash all of it, but, you know, the Kavanaughs, the Trumps, the I mean, honestly, I don't really even want to think entirely about 2018. It's done. It's over. It's in the past. So now we are just going to focus on the righteous future that is 2019. This is the year. This is the one. This is it. This is the year. We're gonna. If we don't completely end misogyny and racism and transphobia and capitalism and classism and all these other things that we can't stand and hate, if we don't completely end them, we're probably gonna make huge steps toward ending them mostly. I'm putting my money on it. I'm putting all my chips there. I'm betting it's going to happen. Everyone's going to be super happy and healthy. Oppression is going to be ended. And we're all going to be relating to each other as freely associated human beings. Probably. That's where it's probably going to happen. And in honor of this new beginning, this ending of this horrible stuff, and this beginning of the new righteous light that we'll be following in 2019. In honor of that, I'm bringing on some brand new friends that I just got off tour with. Brett and Chris from Crazy in the Brains, the band from New Jersey, Crazy in the Brains. They just finished a tour opening up for Negative Approach and Leftover Crack. And then I happened to be on that tour hanging out with Leftover Crack and slanging their merch and just chilling out on the tour. And I got to see Crazy in the Brains every single night. And I was just really impressed with them. Not only their music, which is incredible. We're going to talk about how innovative and catchy this music is, which I feel like is a very difficult combination to achieve. And I'm curious about how they do that and curious how they look at their music. So we're going to talk about that on this episode. But in addition to them being incredible musicians, they're also incredible people and super genuine, super sincere, very sweet dudes. And I really liked spending time with them. I didn't think I was going to like spending time with them because we're coming from what I think are pretty different places musically, creatively, I think emotionally. I feel like we're coming from different places, but I really dug it. They're very, very sincere dudes, and they won me over day after day hanging out with them and spending time with them, and I really appreciated that. I really appreciated that they didn't just write me off as a piece of shit when they first met me and say, like, oh, this fucking nerdy, hardcore douchebag, and they stuck with it and were just good dudes, and they won me over not only with their music but with their personalities. They're wonderful people. I think that's all going to shine through by the end of the episode. You're going to see how wonderful they are, and you will probably also see how much of a piece of shit that I am. Both those things will probably come through very clearly in this episode, I think, more likely than not. But I wanted to invite Crazy in the Brains. I want to invite Brett and Chris onto the show today. On the second half, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions, whether they make any, whether we should be making any. 2019's right around the corner, so I feel like there's a chance for us to get started on a new chapter. So we're going to go back and forth, and I'm going to see what they think about that without that concept, and I'm going to give my two cents if they will allow me. And we're going to talk about what we should do personally in 2019, like what should we make some new plans and so on. That's going to be on the second half of the show. On the first half of the show, I'm going to delve deeper into this perspective of Crazy in the Brains. I mean, we're going to start out talking some shit, as we do, as you know that we do. We're going to talk some shit about tour. We're going to talk about some of the cool places we went, some of the cool experiences we had on tour. I know folks out there are like curious what happens on some of these tours. So we're going to talk a little bit of shit, if you don't mind. about some of the cool places we went, some of the rad shows that we got to see. You get a chance to see into the brains of what they think a good show is. So it'll be fun. We're going to talk about that. But then I also want to talk about their perspective. Philly Crazy in the Brains is coming at music from a very unique place. And I'm not just talking about New Jersey. I'm talking about, like, they're coming at music from a very emotionally unique place, from a very artistically unique place. And they're making poppy, catchy tunes that are also, like, out of the box. They're out of our normal comfort zone, to me at least. At least when I listen to the music, that's sort of what I hear. I hear this very innovative stuff, but it's also very familiar in a different way, and it's very catchy in a different way. And I really appreciated that. It took me a minute to really grab a hold of that, because I'm coming from this, like, you know, the place that I'm coming from, this more traditional punk place, and they're not making traditional music. And I loved that. Once I really understood it, once I really got a sense of it, and I really gave it a sincere chance and I listened to it, I really feel like they're breaking me out of some traditional bullshit that I'm hung up on musically and artistically. And I want to poke and prod at that. I want to understand it better. I want to get a better understanding of that wonderful, healthy, brilliant, vibrant perspective that comes from Crazy in the Brains. So hopefully they will let me ask them some about that, and we'll get a better understanding of where entirely they're coming from, and not just the idea of New Jersey being a state of mind. Although maybe it is, I don't know. It's definitely a state. I'm not sure about a state of mind. Anyway, Crazy in the Brains is here. They're going to tell us about their music. They're going to tell us about tour. We're going to talk a bunch of shit. And then at the end of the episode, we're going to talk about 2019 and what is on our horizon personally, I think. Mostly we're going to be talking about personally, but maybe we'll get a little bit of taste of their musical horizons as well. And I want to say thank you first and foremost to Brett and Chris from Crazy in the Brains, not only for coming on the show, which I really appreciate, taking a long trip over here to my studio to do this podcast that came from very far away, and I really appreciate that very much. Thank you, fellas. But also for making such great music, and also for giving me a chance, because, you know, I feel like I came at their music and at them in a relatively closed-minded way. And I feel like they gave me a chance to catch up to them, and I really appreciate that. Everybody in Crazy in the Brains, Jeff, John, Ernest, everybody just gave me a chance to fully appreciate their music, and I really appreciate that. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Brett. I hope all of you out there will give them a chance as well. They have incredible music. You can get them at crazyinthebrains.bandcamp.com. We're going to listen to some of the tunes in a little bit, but before we do that, I want to say thank you as well to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com, where you can listen to Dispatchers from the Underground every Wednesday night on Real Punk Radio. It's part of the incredible programming they have going on over there. So thank you, Tommy Unit, for including us in the incredible programming. I hope everybody who listens goes and checks out all the great punk programming over at realpunkradio.com. If you don't go and check out Real Punk Radio, either way, please go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com and hit the subscribe button so you do not miss an episode of Dispatchers from the Underground. We have a bunch of coming up. I have some pre-recorded with an incredible author that I will be airing in the very near future, and our good friends from Out of System Transfer, who are going to be on tour all over the country. They're going to be on our next episode that's going to be up in a couple of weeks. So come back in like a week or two, and we're going to have another episode up with Out of System Transfer from right here in New York City. So thank you to everybody who listens. Thank you to everyone who subscribes. Thank you to everybody who over this holiday season has gone to dispatchwithmeunderground.com and left a donation. I really appreciate it. This show does cost us a little bit to run, so I really appreciate everybody who has dug deep into their donation pockets and thrown us a little bit of love. I appreciate that very much. We will be on the road in the very near future, and hopefully coming to a near place near you. I do also want to say thank you to everybody who did come up to me at the Leftover Crack merch table and said they listened to Dispatches. I really appreciated that. It was very uplifting and heartwarming. So thank you. Some people didn't leave their names, and I was regretful of that, but appreciated you stopping by and telling me to continue to do the show. This one is for you. Here is Chris and Brett from the New Jersey band Crazy in the Brains. Just finished touring with Negative Approach and Leftover Crack. We're going to get to the interview with Chris and Brett in 1 minute. We're going to listen to a song, and then we're going to get to the discussion. So here it comes. Get down. All right, before we get the discussion with Brett and Chris from Crazy the Brains, I want to play a tune from a band that Crazy the Brains was opening for on this tour. Crazy the Brains was opening for Negative Approach and Leftover Crack, and that's why they were on this tour, and I was that's the tour I met them on, so I feel like we should set the mood with the bands that we were there supporting. So here's a song called Tied Down from the legendary Detroit hardcore band Negative Approach. Wonderful human beings, really, really fantastic dudes. I really enjoyed spending time with them, and obviously fucking hardcore legends. So here it is, Tied Down by Negative Approach. Get down.
You made a choice now, no turning back. Wasting your time, but you just won't make it back. What for yourself, that you're having fun. When you had your second thoughts, why didn't you fucking run? Tied down on a fucking leash. Tied down, never be released. Tied down, wild away. Tied down, now there's nothing to say. Now not yourself and you've got nowhere to go. I only see you're not the one I used to know. No time left for yourself because commitment's dead to me. Now it's gonna haunt you, see a fucking dying thing. Tied down on a fucking leash. Tied down, never be released. Tied down, why are we? Tied down, now it's not even safe. You made your choice, now there's no turning back. Wasting your time, but you just won't face the facts. What will you say? That you're having fun. When you had your second thoughts, why didn't you fucking run? Tied down on a fucking leash. Tied down, never be released. Tied down, wild away. Tied down, now it's not even safe.
What's up, dudes? What's going on?
Up,
yo.
Yo, dude. I feel like it's been a few minutes since we hung out last, but it actually has been like a week or something.
Just dropping you off right here.
Yeah, you dropped me off here the other day.
Yeah.
Tour, we just got off a tour together. You guys were actually playing on the tour. I was just like watching your shit, really, mostly.
You were playing.
I'm counting it as we toured together.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I should do that. But I'm here with Brett. What's up, Brett?
What's up, man?
I'm here with Chris.
Hello.
I'm here
from
with Joey.
Crazy in the Brains. And Jeff was going to be here. But he's fucking punk. His ass punked the fuck out, dude.
He's a punk.
So, Jeff, if you're listening to this, you fucked up. I want to say thank you to Brett and Chris, but fuck you, Jeff.
You're welcome, Joey.
More than anything else. More than anything else, I want to say fuck you, Jeff. Yo, what's going on? Crazy in the Brains.
Woo! We're chilling. We're here.
How often do you guys get that? Like, yo, are you crazy and who are the brains?
That's pretty often. Every fucking time people hear about us, yeah.
Are you sick of it or you think it's funny?
No, it's funny. I think that's cool if people know who we are.
In Brett's favorite place on the tour, which was the last gas station we stopped at in Florida, the place that had the baby alligators.
Oh, man. That was great. I watch that video still.
You watch it like every day?
Because it's just so cool the way that thing moved.
Not cool.
No. The alligator, I'm saying.
The gas station was cool.
The way it could move like that, you know.
Describe how the alligator moves on the podcast because no one can see you doing the head movement.
It made me think of like, you know, because I guess that's one of the closest living relatives of dinosaurs. And just, I was just imagining like, oh man, that's how dinosaurs would kind of move like that. And it was just cool. Then it was trying to bite me. I was standing there too long and I was watching him and then he tried to bite me, but I had stopped the camera by that time.
I don't know if that is worse or the lady at the counter at the place who, when you guys told her the name of the band, she's like, oh, so which one of you is crazy and who are the brains?
Yeah.
And then you said you're crazy.
I mean.
Maybe I said it.
I just say we're all a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone asked that question. There's no answer. We just kind of roll with how we're feeling at the moment.
I like starting off a podcast with the most annoying question first. And I feel like that makes everybody real loosen up. How was tour? How did you feel about tour? Well, give me your summations of tour. Crazy in the Brains, we're opening up for Negative Approach and Leftover Crack on like a 3-week tour all down the East Coast and in the Midwest a little bit. How did you feel?
It was crazy. It was amazing. I mean,
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
We've been on longer tours, but that tour was definitely like the most work and the most
word.
Like, I mean, work. It's work, but it's fun, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like we never stopped moving, you know. And those bands, we were obviously huge fans of both those bands, so it was like just probably the best tour we've ever been on. Really fun. And we met you.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't a perfect tour. It was all right on that front. What do you think, Brad? How do you feel?
It was insane. It was crazy. It was the best. It was probably the best 2.5-3 weeks of my life.
No way. You think so?
I'm serious, yeah.
That's amazing. That's how much fun. That's so nice to hear.
Yeah. All the bands were great. The crew was great. Got to meet you. John.
You guys.
Numbskull.
John, the tour manager for Leftover Crack, was amazing. You guys had Aaron and Steve working mm-hmm. merch with y'all and doing all the heavy lifting for you guys. Your crew was tight. Your drummer John was fucking awesome the entire time.
Johnny boy.
Ernest, or I think he's going as Ernesto now. Yeah. he was great. You know, you guys have a great crew. Everyone was super positive. It was a fun fucking tour. It was like
it
nonstop
was
positive fun. It was like no fucked up shit happened.
No, luckily.
I don't think.
But you know what? It was. Like he said, it was work, but it was the best kind of work you could do. Like, yeah, sometimes it was like, oh, man, we got to be here at this time or whatever. But we were just learning because we've never been on a schedule like that before where it was so, okay, got to be here 3 o'clock, whatever, and you got a 6-hour drive beforehand. I think it's just something you get used to as the more you do it. But
most of our tours have been DIY, so it's like show up to a house party whenever.
Right.
You feel like getting there or, you know, like this was like you need to be here at 2 p.m. Right. Or we're going to get on your ass, you know. And plus, we were supplying some of the gear. So
had
like,
to give Donnie his drums.
Donnie had to get those drums in time. But,
yeah. No, I mean, it is work. You know, we went on a tour. Skullcaster did a tour. It was just DIY by ourselves. But we're all kind of in that mentality of like, yo, this is work.
Uh-huh.
I was with some homies from Texas in a band called Escape in the Zoo, and we had a fill-in guitar player. And like halfway through the tour, she's like, "Yo, this is like way more work than I thought it was gonna be. Like I thought we were just gonna be partying."
People
like,
don't realize.
Actually, it's like 90% work, and then within that work, there's also like 30% partying. The numbers don't all add up.
Yeah,
it's not math. We're not in math class.
It was pretty cool to also get paid.
Yeah,
that was good.
I remember on one of our tours, we had a show in Alabama, and we had a set price that we were supposed to get paid or whatever. And I went up to the guy afterwards, and he's like, "Nah, man, there's no money."
Oh,
and I was
fuck.
Like, "I was like, no, like, they're it. Like you said, blah blah blah." And I showed
what
him
you
the
said.
I showed him the email, and he was like, "Oh, right." And he left, and he came back, and he handed me an envelope with $6 in it.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, nice. Let's get the fuck out of here. We left.
Yeah. Yo, was it Birmingham, or where were you in Alabama?
Do you remember?
I don't know.
It was overall a scary situation. Like, nobody liked us. Well, actually, one kid who traveled, like, a few towns over to see us.
Oh, wow.
He was like, why are you here? Like, you don't belong. You shouldn't be here. And,
Alabama is a fucking terrifying place.
I mean, that was my only time there. So I don't know about the place as a whole, but that was crazy.
I've only been there once too, but I feel like we could generalize with like, what the fuck are they gonna do? Like, we're all the way up here and they're all the way down there. Like, what the fuck are you gonna do, Alabama? We think your fucking state's fucked up. So come and get us if you can figure out where we are. If you fucking know how to read a map.
Ooh.
Whatever.
They paid us $6. I mean,
I believe no one in Alabama has ever listened to this podcast, but I have no evidence for that at all.
This might be the first one.
Yeah.
We got some fans down there.
Spread like hotcakes in Alabama. Whatever. What was your favorite place to play on this tour? Like, if you guys were like, not even town wise or whatever, but the best show, because you guys have been places before. But
my favorite one was Shaka Lounge. That was in Virginia Beach. That was with Brad's last show, so we had fun.
Shaka's live, I think.
Shaka's live.
Yeah. Doesn't matter anymore anyway because it's gone.
And it's gone. They were closing the place down, so we stole a bunch of shit off the walls.
Oh, God. Are we going to talk about that?
You guys I was about to say, should we reveal that?
No, the place is closed.
You fucking went for it. They're not closed yet.
Wow. Yeah, that's
they're going to close.
Yeah, so Alabama and Virginia Beach, come get us, motherfuckers. Yeah, we're in the book.
Brad was the man. He's awesome.
Brad Logan. Shout out.
You guys fucked it up, though, because John from a tour manager was trying to, like, subtly take, like, one simple thing that no one could possibly want.
Yes.
Right.
And then you guys like, no, we're going to take everything.
We always go over. Me and him were in the elevator with a huge, what were you, it was a huge Bacardi, like a novelty size.
Like the size of a person.
It was like a 7 foot.
It was taller than I am.
Yeah, it was like a 7 foot tall Bacardi, plastic Bacardi thing.
We took it too far, as we always do.
That they took back, though.
Yeah, they can't.
There was nowhere to put that anyway.
Yeah, I would have had to like sleep with that in my bunk or something
just,
like that.
I just wanted to get it outside, and then we probably would have like destroyed it in the parking lot.
Yeah. That was a cool show.
We didn't actually want it.
Virginia Beach is fun. It's a fucking cool town.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. I really
it's probably less cool now that Shaka's is gone. Like that's probably it. Shaka's was like the place.
Was it really?
Shaka's, yo, people were coming up to the merch table. And in like almost in tears that show.
Wow.
Like, yo, this is the last punk show Shaka's. And I'm like, I like it, play. I don't care, though. Yeah. I'm going to leave.
Well, I'm glad we were part of it.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was a cool venue. And all the people there were super cool, too.
Yeah. There was a lot of shows where kids were driving from 3 hours away.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. Not for us, for Leftover Crack.
You never know. You didn't take a poll. There's no exit polls. Could have been for y'all. There was a show where someone came from far away. I remember them saying it. I think Boston, maybe, or from somewhere in Florida. They're like, I came to see Crazy in the Brains, and they had come from far away.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I definitely know one show.
We also came from far away that show.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they came from New York. They came from New Jersey. All right, well, Chris, what was your favorite? Or one of them?
I liked Detroit a lot overall. That was a good crowd, like cool people, good vibe. And I liked hanging out there. We had like some, that was like the, maybe the one show where we had like a minute to chill out and like hang out.
Oh, we got to bowl a little bit. Did you guys bowl?
Oh yeah,
yes.
We were bowling.
There was a bowling alley.
We were bowling with Sturgeon. Was that when we were bowling?
Yeah, that was bowling with Sturgeon. Yeah, because then you went to Youngstown and played another bowling alley.
Right.
Oh yeah, and we slept in the bowling alley.
Yeah,
and we slept there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool venue, and that was a cool show. It was a really fucking super packed Detroit show.
That was with Third Man. We went over to Third Man, and John was doing his interview.
Oh yeah, Negative Approach.
I don't know if you were there.
They were doing an interview at Jack White's record
shop. Oh, crazy.
And then they took us in and showed us the pressing plant. Mm-hmm. I think
they have a pressing plant in their record shop?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. It's cool.
What? Why would they do that? That sounds insane.
Yeah. He makes all the records right there. His records, all the...
Wow.
They press like old Chess.
How could that? Oh, they do. Like they press other records.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about. Yeah, I don't
know. It was a crazy setup.
That's wild. Yeah. That's Detroit they were in?
Yeah. Oh, like walking distance from where we played. It was nice.
That was a cool show for sure.
Brett stole a 7-inch from there. So
nice.
There's another theft for
you. Sorry, Jack.
Don't worry, Brett. I'll edit all this stuff
out. Okay, yeah.
It's super easy. Yeah.
I listen. Honestly, edit this out. I listened to it. I didn't really like that one.
I thought you chased Chicago. Chicago was rad, dude.
Oh, that was great.
Oh,
too.
Chicago
Metro
was
good.
Metro theater. The Metro something, and then it was like on the ground. I got in there and I looked at the stage and I went up to like the manager or whatever. I'm like, yo, what the fuck are you guys thinking? Having this like tiny stage on this huge floor when there's about like, this is going to be bananas. This is going to be awful. And he's like, yeah, we'll see. And I'm like, all right. I did get kicked in the face super hard that show and chipped a tooth during that set. But it was a sick show. It was a fucking
blast.
That was
good. At first, I thought that was a bad idea for them to do that, but then it wound up working out.
It might have been both. Someone did climb up the rafters. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah. He jumped off.
And jumped onto the crowd from the fucking second floor. It was awesome for us who weren't underneath him.
Oh, yeah.
But whoever was underneath him like had a concussion, I'm sure, or like got fucked up. People were coming out of that show just like, gushing blood. That lady, that one woman.
Oh, fuck. I forgot.
There was
about
a woman who came running out of the set and she was just during Negative Approach. We were in the merch area. You remember this?
Yeah.
Brett might not have been
there. I don't think I saw this.
And we were in the merch area. Uh-huh. Chris and I were in the merch area. And she comes running out and she's like fucking screaming and she is just soaked in blood, dude. She said some fucking crazy shit to someone who then proceeded to not.
Stabbed her?
No, it's just a punch, but she got opened up, yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know what happened, but also she was, like, fighting with the bouncer. I mean, overall, just shouldn't have happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
That sucked.
The bouncer showed incredible restraint, though. Did not hit her. despite getting blood spit on him constantly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, she was kept spitting on him and called him the N-word.
What?
Yes, yes. What yes.
the fuck?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's just fucking terrible.
Which at that point, I was like, all right, well, this chick is fucking, like, I guess she wanted this. I guess this is how the day, like, she was like, oh.
That's how she lives.
Yeah. Damn. All right, well, anyway, we talked enough shit. Fucking bunch of crazy, I guess there was some crazy shit that happened on the show. Yes. No one, but other than that woman, great. No one else got hurt.
That was, like, the only negative thing that happened, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, overall, like.
And who knows if it was negative. She could have kind of got what she wanted. I mean, she could have got, she could have sounded like not a great person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You shout in the N-word at people, you're going to get punched, homie.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about Crazy in the Brain for 2 minutes in the abstract and not tour-related.
Okay.
You just put out, you recently put out a tape, right?
Yeah.
When did the tape come out? What was the tape called?
Well, the newest release is called Into the Ugly.
Okay,
that's like a full length, close to a full length, 9 songs. And then in May, we put out a tape. This is an EP called Out in the Weeds. And
I don't remember that because that's my favorite song of yours.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's the song that Brett wrote.
Is it?
Yeah. And that's Steve's favorite song, too.
Yo, it's because all the hardcore kids, like, out in the weeds, dude. Steve, who was working merch for Crazy in the Brains for a bunch of the tours, fucking, the kid likes some heavy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're surprised. He's actually drumming for us at a show coming up, but we're surprised all these fans of hardcore are actually into us because we're not hardcore at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will own up to the fact that when I first was introduced to Crazy in the Brains,
yes.
I'll be the shitty Joey Steele, I'll be honest.
Yes.
Obviously, I didn't get it. And, you know, it's like I was talking to my friend. I'd seen y'all like two or three times and I was like, I don't get it. And I was at a show you guys were playing. I'm in the backyard at El Cortez and y'all are playing, I think maybe with Bad Cop. You were on that show, right?
Yeah.
And I'm in the backyard, I'm talking to my friend. He really liked your set. And he's like, Joe, what do you think about that band? I'm like, I don't get it. I just, you know, I can see they're talented. They're writing catchy fuck songs. They're obviously super talented. I don't get the xylophone, but that's whatever. But I don't get it in general. And he turns to me and goes, no, I get that. I understand that. Joe, you don't like fun. So as someone who doesn't like fun, like, you have a hard time understanding people who are fun.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that made a lot of sense to me.
Well, I don't know if that's true, though.
You like to have fun.
Yeah,
I have fun with you.
Well, that might be something you should talk to a psychiatrist about, Chris. But I feel like once I was, you know, I didn't give it enough chance because I'm so used to heavy music and I want anger in my music. I want like 99% anger in my music. So when we were on tour and I was listening to you a couple days in, I'm like, yeah, they're good. They're super talented. I like these songs are good. And then like a third of the way through the set of shows, I'm like, oh man, these songs are fucking good.
Nice.
It took me a minute to like sit down and listen and get it. So anyone who's listening who likes heavy tunes, we're going to play it on the weeds in a minute because I love that song.
So basically everybody should just give it a chance.
Everybody should obviously give it a chance.
Or two.
But they should also just like listen to it on repeat for like a week.
Right.
For real, for like a week. Like, let it
sink in.
Let it push out all, like, the Helmet and, like, I don't know what other people listen to, Burzum or something like that.
Right.
let Crazy in the Brains push it out of your brain and enjoy music again. Enjoy life.
We actually love all that music, too. I mean, like, to be on
No tour. One loves Burzum, Chris. That's a terrible music.
I don't know that band,
yeah,
but
it's awful. Hardcore, it's also Nazis.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about them on tour.
Hardcore music we love. Like, Negative Approach, we're a big fan of them. Minor Threat, shit like that, you know. It's just, I think the way that we interpret the music that we like comes out a little differently, you know? A lot of people don't know where to put us or, like, don't get it at first. Like, your first, like, response to us, that's like, we've been hearing that, you know what I mean? And that's cool with me. I think that's fine, you know? People don't know where we're coming from, I think, especially with the xylophone. Like, I can't tell you how many times we showed up to a show and get ripped on the second we get there because it's like, I don't even want to say all the names we've been called. That
I would. Oh, I thought you were going to name names. I'm like, yo, please, let's do this shit.
But then maybe sometimes, not every time, but a lot of times when people give it a minute and see us actually watch the set, they're like, oh, wait, like, I fuck with these guys. I see where they're coming from. A lot of times, honestly, it's not till we play the Jim Carroll song that people understand where we're coming from, and that people don't look at us a lot of times as connected to punk rock at all, because the way we look, you know, we look at the fucking, you can't see what we're wearing right now, but
I mean, yeah, they can see it on the episode. Everyone should go to the Dispatch page. You can see what they're wearing.
And, you know, just the sound, the xylophone people, it's just unfamiliar, you know? It takes a minute.
Well, that's real music, too, though, too, because it's not like the same rehashed shit. You come in with something interesting and new that a lot of people can't all completely just put in a box.
Well, yeah, I think people go into it trying to, okay, what is this guy? What's going on here? Like, they're trying to figure out who these people are within 5 minutes of seeing them. Mm-hmm. When they're really, sometimes there's not a whole thing going on. Like, we know what we're doing, but maybe there's less to figure out, and it's just here for you to enjoy and just have some fun. There's not some whole thing that you have to figure out the whole situation, you know?
Or maybe it's not meant for you to figure it out, you know what I mean? Just
our tiny brains cannot comprehend the crazy and the brains.
Oh, I'm saying there's probably less there than you people might think.
I think that there's a lot of space to go into this. I do think that there is an element of, like, people, especially in punk, I think especially in New York City, and I'll shit on New York City for a second. I think a lot of people in New York City forget how to have fun at punk shows. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of, like, you know, part of the thing. And partially that's why I like punk, because there is, like, this anger and emotion that's not just fun. Like, there's this thing. Or, like, I don't know, a goth show, like, people want to be sad or something like that. I don't really know. I don't listen to goth. But right. I feel like they want to be sad at the show, you know? And I think sometimes people just don't, like, realize, hey, we're going to have a fucking good time.
Right.
Obviously, yeah. It's not all punks, because there's a lot of fucking punks who have a good, like, a lot of fun, especially the Leftover Crack show.
Right.
Uh-huh. But, so, you know, there's that. And also, I think you guys are making music that does something very strange to me, which is it's extremely, extremely catchy. Like, it's virally catchy. It's like very, very catchy in the best possible way. Like, I catch myself singing it even before I realize I like the songs. I'm like singing along with them. Like, I must like this song. So it's virally catchy, but it's also, there's that, but it's also not something rehashed and that's been done before that everyone has already heard.
Right.
So do those two things together is extremely difficult. Like, I don't know how to do it. I don't think most people know how to do it. I think actually Sturgeon does.
Oh,
Leftover
yeah.
Crack, which yeah. he's you know, that's how he invented crack rock steady, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how he came up with this genre, is doing something that's extremely catchy, that's super far out of the box. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why, one of the reasons he likes y'all so much. And I think he's right, you know, as he usually is on this stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
that's very nice of you to say.
Well, this is all coming from the fact that initially I didn't give you a chance. So
right, okay.
You
know, so
initially, I'm a piece of shit, and then got dragged into the light by y'all. What do you think it is? What do you think it is that prevents people from like getting it at first?
I think a lot of people, especially within punk, like a punk raised me as far as like, it was what I was brought up on as a kid, but I have a lot of things about it that I don't really like, you know? And one
word
of them being, like, how uniform shit has become, where it's like, you're only gonna like what you've already heard, or what is, like, immediately familiar to you. And, like, I think when you look at us, and when you see, like I said, there's the xylophone, or whatever, it's like, oh, no. Like, you immediately shut it out, without even giving it a chance. I think that's the number one thing. I don't know.
That's a good point. I mean, when I see a pedal board sometimes, I'm like, I'm not watching that band.
Yeah. And I'm guilty of that too, to an extent. Reed, you know?
I'm wrong. Yeah. There was a great band once called Shit Show from here in New York City. Shout out to Shit Show. And they were playing at our DIY spot called The Lake at the time. And they brought out like a 12-thing pedal board. And I'm like, fuck these guys. I'm out of here.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you know what? That's really close-minded of me. Let me listen to one song. I listened to it and it blew my mind. It was like one of the best bands I've ever heard.
Okay, there you go.
Shit Show. Awesome band. Like, fucking blew my mind. I became good friends with them. Loved that band. And I was like, yeah, man, I was totally wrong. So it's like the short-sightedness that is, I don't know if it's punk, but it's definitely American. So right. I feel like that's a pretty fucking standard issue.
I mean, punk to a lot of people is just, you know, I'm going to wear the shirt of the band that I like. and I'm gonna dress in all black, and I'm gonna redo what the songs I've already heard, and that's cool because I like a lot.
Thank you
of
for
bands.
Saying that, Chris. Thank you.
No, but I like a lot of bands that do that. Yeah. I just that's not what we're doing. You know what I mean?
So like, we're gonna wrap up in a second, but I want to know what is it you're doing? Like, what is do you guys have like? If you were like trying to explain, if someone couldn't hear Crazy in the Brains, and you had to go to them and convince them to talk to them and be like, yo, here's what we're going to do and you're going to love it. What would you say to them to get them to get it? Like, how would you get them to get it before you started? I'm trying to like intellectualize your music, and you guys are just like, yeah, we don't just listen to the music, Joey. I get it. Face, Brett, right now, no one can see your face.
I'm trying to think.
Your face is what I sing like. It's like pure aggression. Brett was just giving me like, what the fuck is this guy
talking about? Think of a good
musically, I don't think we're coming from a place that's much different than Leftover Crack or All Torn Up or a lot of the bands that you like. I think we're just interpreting it a little differently. And as far as like the lyrics go and the content, I mean, I'm always trying to spin things in a positive way because I feel like not all the songs are positive and not all the songs are happy. A lot of people think that they are because maybe they're not paying attention that closely. But there's a lot of angry songs and there's a lot of sad songs. But I try to sort of give you a positive perspective on it in the end, because this world is sick and this world is fucking cold, you know what I mean? And there's great bands that I love that are giving you and letting you know how fucked up and shitty it is. I don't feel that that's what I need to do, you know what I mean? So when I talk my peace and love shit, sometimes people think, you know, it's like, all right, whatever, hippie, like, stop. And that's cool, you know what I mean? But, like, that's what I'm here to do. You know?
I may have
like,
said the word hippie on this tour at one point.
Yeah, I mean,
I think.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think the music that we make, it's just, we try to consciously make sure we're not just doing something that we like. Like, I think when we're writing things, if we come up with something and it's like, wait a second, that sounds like this, or it sounds like I've heard that before, maybe let's start going another direction. Mm. Maybe it sounds cool, but it's like, well, we've already heard that. So we're trying to make something that's even a little bit different, you know, which can be hard to do. But I think that's what we try to keep in mind when we are making our songs, just to make something new. Because, I mean, yeah, you have all these bands that sound like other bands that you love, and they probably put on a great show, and the music is fun and cool. But it's like you can trace it back, and you can trace back our stuff too. I mean, I know the songs that the couple that I've made directly where I took inspiration and I don't know, you couldn't sue me for it, but it's probably pretty close.
I'm not going to sue you, but you know someone what I mean? Might. Yeah.
But it's, so there is, it does come from somewhere, but I think when we're doing it, we try to keep in mind, we want to make it a little bit, bring something,
make it
a
you,
little bit,
you know,
new. Right? Yeah.
The music we love the most, like Nina Simone.
Amazing.
Nina Simone is Nina Simone. Like I feel like I'm really getting a picture of what it's like to be her. You know what I mean? Or so many other. I can't even think right now. But you know what I'm saying? Tupac, yeah. Whatever. Like The Clash. These are stories like out of these people's mouths that like. I want to hear your story. I don't want to hear somebody else's story, you know? And that's what we're trying to do here is, like, give you me. I'm trying to give you me, not somebody else.
And I think it's difficult to be authentic making music in general because you're performing, right? Yeah. So you're up there performing. And that is difficult to then also be authentic. We were in Chicago, and this guy had seen All Torn Up a bunch, and he came up to me, and we had a discussion about some stuff. And one of the things he said was, one thing I said on stage one time he felt was like, performative rather than authentic, which I took offense to. So we had like a long conversation about it. Right. But it's hard to get up night after night and give it and like authentically pour out all of your emotions while you're performing music you've performed 1,000 fucking times.
Yeah, I think there definitely is that difference. But I think our thing that we do and people that we love, where it's more of a show. Like, okay, you look at David Bowie and somebody like that. That's a show. That's like a theater type thing. We don't take it that far. But the songs that we sing, it's not all literal. You know, like it's
yeah.
Well, talking also, about eating devil dogs, and like we don't even eat that shit. And also, you couldn't even eat as much as he's talking about. You know what I mean? So,
but it is David Bowie is a good example. I think Nina Simone's a really good example. Here are pure performers who are performative. They're taking things to extreme, but they're still writing authentic music that's heartfelt. And I think that comes through in your performances every night from everybody on stage.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
in your interaction with the crowd. And the way you guys are singing the songs and the way you guys are interacting with each other, it's all very genuine. That's not easy to continue to do, and I continue to be doing, and I feel it when you guys are playing live.
Well, because those songs mean that much to us, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Bowie's a good example.
I'm not really good at anything else. Like, this is what, it's authentic because this is who I am. Like, there's nothing more for me to do than do this. And the songs, they just couldn't mean any more to me than they do. So that's why it's weird, because I'm weird and he's weird, and that's just what it is, you know?
Weird, like, unique, authentic. Those are good things to describe as punk as fuck. I feel like that's the whole point. So I feel like that's appreciative.
I appreciate that.
Let's take a break for a second. Let's listen to a tune. Obviously, the new album is called Into the Ugly.
Into the Ugly, yeah.
Everyone needs to go to the Bandcamp page, because you can get it from the Bandcamp page, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And what's the Bandcamp page?
I think it's just
crazythebrains.bandcamp.com?
Yeah.
Probably, most likely. Or or just search Crazy the Brains and Bandcamp, and you're going to get it. Get the new album. They can order a physical copy there, right? And then they can get a digital download, probably?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't want to listen to a song from the new album.
Yes.
I want to listen to Into the Weeds. I'm sorry. Out in the weeds. Sorry. Too many prepositions, too little time. I want to listen to Out in the Weeds. I love this song. Can you tell, what is this song about? I love when you guys start, I love the song, and I love just like Out in the Weeds, like the, like when it just starts, it's just like, boom, love it.
Yeah.
What is this song about?
It's about some girl that I was with, but then I decided I had to leave, and this was the time. It was like now or never, and I made a decision.
Boom. Out in the Weeds, Crazy in the Brain. Get down.
Yeah.
the first tones you make every time you pick up the bike.
Are we recording already?
You're just like,
come on, dude. And we're back.
The mic test.
The House of Steel.
Yo, Happy New Year, motherfuckers.
The House of Steel
built. Like, if it's not 2019 while you're listening to this, it's like about to be 2019, and you should probably listen to this again in 2000. Probably going to feel very different in 2019. Mm-hmm. You should probably listen to this every couple of weeks and every couple of hours from 2018 to 2019. Probably give you a better perspective on life. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, here's our one shot to fucking get you to like be reflective on this horrible year. I don't know. You can tell me how it was. I just feel like it was horrible for the world. This horrible year of 2018 and how great 2019 is. We're going to fucking, let's do this. What do you think? Was it a horrible year?
It was a good year for us. Yeah, there was some terrible shit that happened, but you're a cynic from the word go.
No, I'm not cynical. I mean, like a realist, you know? I'm just like, you know, painful Syrian refugee crisis and like brutal oppression. But yeah, you're right. It might have been a good year too.
There's always terrible shit going on.
You're right. I need to get myself out of the negative.
You need to join the Peace Corps.
Yeah. Or the Angry Corps or the Violent Corps. If there's a Violent Corps, I'll sign up for that shit. I feel like Integrity might start that. But all right. So let's get real. Like for Crazy in the Brains, it was a good year. Let's start there. See, there you go. Now I mean, Chris is already negative again. Brett, talk us up, bro.
Well, no, I wouldn't hit him.
For the band, I mean, there's layers to it. I mean, for the band, yeah, I think it was a good year. For me personally, it was a year of me overcoming a lot of fucked up shit. But that's life, you know what I mean? Like,
you want to go into that or do you not want to go into that?
Yeah, I mean,
'cause I want to go into that. We're going to bring that up, Chris.
That's part of what this band is, you know what I mean? Like, Crazy in the Brains, the name is what it is, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, wait, go, what do you mean? What is it?
I mean, I deal with all types of shit, problems with anxiety, depression, and shit like that. And this year, the last year, I was, like, at the bottom. Mm. I was fucking done, you know what I mean? And this year has been me overcoming and getting out of that. And with that, I think the band became stronger and like the music became tighter. I mean, music for us and for me is my livelihood and therapy, which is corny in a lot of ways, but so many people say it, you know.
I would be in prison if I wasn't making music, 100%.
Yeah, I'd be somewhere similar or just as bad, you know. So this year has been crazy, but now we're at a better place. I'm in a better place, and I always try and remain hopeful and positive. And New Year's resolutions, I mean, I'm not going to say I have a New Year's resolution because I feel like when you say that, it almost sets it up for, like, not failure, but, like, I don't know.
Did you make any going into 2018?
No, I didn't. I just sort of made it a point in my mind to take control of my life, and
nice.
That's what I'm going to continue to do. New Year's are going to keep coming until I'm dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
that's good. I think that's a really good way to put like the personal perspective on this too. Is that last year sucked. This year I fucking took the reins, and it's been a good year. A year of overcoming. That's spectacular. You know.
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
I'm decades into overcoming and just failing miserably. So I feel like 1 year of overcoming, and you're already doing pretty good, Chris. That's not bad. I feel like that's pretty inspirational. Brett, how about you? How do you feel? How was this year? That's
good.
It's hard to follow that one. That kind of sucks to follow. You should have gone before Chris.
The crazy for the band, it was great. The tour was crazy. Chris was going through some stuff that we did what we could to help him. I mean, he's my closest friend, so like, it was hard to see that, but we all did what we could. We just like, all right, we gotta pick up the slack for Chris because he's got to deal with it, to take care of this, and we're gonna run the band and keep it going, which we did.
Nice.
And I think personally, I had a good year. A lot of changes, a lot of leaving a girl, living with Chris's family again, then we got our own spot, and yeah, I mean, it's all personal shit, but
Well, that's, I mean, that, but there's a lot of movement, a lot of motion, a lot of things, yeah, a lot of things happened, and things fell into place. Things,
but
are good
I think
now.
It was all for the best because it started. Then you can see a little clearer when you kind of put yourself in better and new situations, and everything was good. I mean, as far as resolutions, I think if why can't you do it today? What's stopping you from? I'm not doing a motivational type thing.
Yeah, that's not very motivating, so there you
go. But what I'm saying is, personally, I've been meaning to get with this kid who runs his boxing club in Jersey City.
What do you mean get? We mean get with that kid?
Like train with
sexually.
Him.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe sexually one day. And, but I never did like a few months ago, and I just kept putting it off. I was like, no, I'm not ready. But you are, everybody's ready. You think that, but there's not really a day when you're going to be like, okay, today I'm ready. I'm going to start this thing.
Yeah. Do it now.
Yeah. Right. So I think that's what I'm going to do once. Well, part of it is too, like, okay, you got Christmas and New Year's. Sometimes that shit does get in the way, and then you have to. Okay,
exactly. Yeah.
Now we're back to regular scheduling.
Regularly scheduled program.
Yeah.
Right. I was just thinking
that. The holidays are fucked up. Also, like, I don't drink, but I feel like New Year's Eve is the one day it actually makes sense to drink. So if people are like, oh, I get one day to drink, it should be New Year's Eve because it's done. Like, all right, fuck it. It's done. That shit is like the end of the chapter, dude. Like,
true.
New chapter starts tomorrow.
But then the next day, you're not doing anything. If you you're starting out this new year in fucking bed.
Yeah, and maybe you need to be reflective about what you did last night to not do that anymore. Like, it's time to rise up above that shit.
New Year's is great. It's a great time to celebrate, but honestly, you don't fucking need the new year to kick off you taking control of your life. You know what I mean? Like, do it now.
For sure.
There's going back to the music, like, that's a theme in so many songs I'm literally trying to drive it into my own fucking skull, and hopefully it helps others. Like, whatever you need to do to take control of your own life, because this, again, I said it before, we live in a fucked up, sick world, and it's oppressive, and it's a lot of times it's hard, and it sucks for a lot of people in different ways. But, you know, you need to do what you can to take control of your own fucking life. And we don't need a fucking New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do it today, you know?
Yes.
Whatever that means for you. It's
We're going to make a commercial.
Different.
Yeah. Do it today.
Do it now. No, but I mean, it means different things for different people. We're in a different situation than a lot of people in this country and all over the world.
Right.
But whatever that means for you, you know.
No, we are very fortunate. I think personally what stops me and what I have a problem with is I'll have in my head a whole big thing of shit that I have to do, whatever it might be, personal growth or physical, working on cars and bikes and shit. And then in my head, I'm like so overwhelmed. I'm like, I can't do this today. Yeah. And then it just
One
gets
step
pushed
at a
off.
Time.
Yeah. So if you can, this is what has been helping me is just, you got to like, just pick at it one day at a time. All right, I'm going to do this today. And the same as like, okay, you're trying to get in shape or you're trying to get to this level. Okay, say take somebody who is doing boxing. I want to get to this level. Well, it's not going to happen in, you can't do, all right, on Monday, I'm going to do 8 hours.
Yeah.
No, it's 1 hour every day till you get to that. Like, you can't push it off until there's no more time left and you got one day left and you're going to do it all then, because then you're going to get up that day and it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Or you're going to get the shit kicked out of you. I like the idea of starting your first day of boxing doing 8 hours. I feel like that's a really good idea. I feel like 8 hours a day is the way to go.
Just beat your ass.
You know, my mom always used to say, if you want to play saxophone, don't play the clarinet. Like, stop, you know, because they always try to make you to do one before the other. Just, like, fucking pick it up and do it.
Go for
right,
it.
Right, I think.
But I'm terrible at the saxophone now, so I don't know if that's a good exercise.
I wouldn't hear you play at the end of this. I think it's, to think that you're not ready, everybody's ready for anything. You just got to start doing it, because once you throw yourself into it,
and that's
it's gonna start.
I think you got a good point, Brett. I don't want to take away your points, because I feel like they're very good. I just feel like there is a thing about, like, you have a certain amount of time during the day. And here's a problem in America. I feel like this is an American, a genuinely American problem.
Let's break it down.
Everybody thinks they have all the time in the world to do everything. So they never actually have to commit to anything because they're like, I'll just do whatever all the time. I have a million choices and a million options and I'm going to do all of them. And I think a lot of people have a hard time being like, okay, I can't do this. I need to do this. You're saying, like, if you're going to do a little bit every day to do something, you have to commit to be like, I'm not going to try to do everything all the time. If you're trying to do everything all the time, you're going to fail at it. So you got to like put something away and not do that. Like, I'm not going to go to watch 10 movies today. Instead, I'm going to go and box for an hour.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm not going to play video games for an hour. I'm going to box for an hour. So yeah. I think, you know, there's a thing. I think New Year's is a moment where people can be like, all right, I'm going to stop doing this thing that I like to do, but I shouldn't do anymore because I want to do something else.
Right.
So it's like the closing of the book. Like, I'm done with this. I want to do this thing. You know, I don't know if that was clear at all. In my head, it was super clear.
To be fully committed to something means to have discipline, and it means to say no to some things. Right. You know what I mean? Like, again, I'm committed to being an artist and being a musician. So there's a lot of things that I don't do. Like, I might get enjoyment out of those things, but like, I'm not going to do those things because my time is being spent and my energy is here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, anything can get done if you commit to it. Yeah, you can't do everything at once, but
yeah
I get what you're saying. And
yeah, and I don't mean to be negative about it. That's not negative. I'm gonna make a resolution.
Yeah.
That I'm going to box 8 hours a day until I am the champion of, like, let's say middleweight. I don't want to be too overly ambitious. So I'm going to box 8 hours a day every day until I'm middleweight champion.
So maybe like four sessions, you should be good.
Yeah, probably four, about a week. Yeah, about let's say a week. So like 7 days, okay. Should be good to go.
Dude, so before Valentine's Day. This will never happen, but celebrity boxing with punk rockers, like punk band, like guys from punk bands.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, but some of those guys can actually box.
Yo, I would fuck up some dudes, dude. Like
you, I want to see you and John Joseph.
Oh no, I'm not fucking John Joseph. Like
I want to get knocked out by the most legendary punk rocker.
Yo, John Joseph does triathlons. Like, I feel like I can run pretty good and throw a good punch, but like, what the fucking guy's gonna like spin kick my fucking. Like, my teeth out.
He's kind of old. He's like, what, 50?
He's not that old. He's like 52, 53. Yeah.
He's actually a nice guy.
He's actually a 300-year-old man who's been, like, training in Tibet for decades, and you guys have no idea. True. He just looks really young for his 300.
I want to box Marky Ramone.
Marky Ramone?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Just because I love the Ramones so much, I just feel like
I love you.
I need to connect.
Yeah, fine. We're taking like our 2019 boxing challenges. Yeah, I'm going to box David Byrne then. That's my boxing guy. Yeah, let's say it's because I love the Talking Heads, but really it's just because I think I could fuck him up. Like, I feel like he might musically outclass me, but I feel like I would fuck him up.
That's okay.
All right, Marky Ramone. Okay, we're picking, you know, our matches here. Marky Ramone, David Byrne. Who are you going to use?
I would be the referee.
Rollins.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'd do that.
I'd watch you and Rollins fight.
I'd let him.
Might put my money on Rollins.
Maybe.
Oh, man. That'd be good.
Yeah, we're fighting Marky Ramone and David Byrne. The fuck is fine for us.
Then at some point, is there a free-for-all?
Yeah, it's a Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble.
For sure, it's a Royal Rumble. We're gonna have a Royal Rumble like picks up on dispatchersontheunderground.com, so you guys can check those out and like
I'm getting Stone Cold in mine.
Oh, you're gonna no, it was all punks.
You can no, but you're allowed to get one
real
Joker,
wrestler,
one wild card,
one real wrestler.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna take Vander Holyfield or Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson.
No. It's gotta be
a
wrestler.
It's gotta be a wrestler.
He was in the WWE for like 4 seconds.
That's true.
Donald Trump.
Okay, he was in there too.
We could all just beat the shit out of him.
No, dude. If you're gonna take a wrestler, I'm taking Road Warrior, dude. I'm gonna take fucking
what about
like
Goldust.
He had a mohawk.
He had a mohawk, dude. Fuck yeah. So like
you got CM Punk. That's who you gotta get.
Oh my god, no! What the least punk ever. Who was your Goldust? Was sick, dude.
Yeah, he was good.
Goldust is fucking Dust. Wasn't that Dusty Rhodes' son? Like the guy can fucking wrestle.
He had all the moves, and he wore the wig and the gold suit.
We should start a Goldust cover band. Does all or wrestling songs?
Okay, dude, we sometimes will play those songs at practice.
He's kind of, I would consider him a punk wrestler because you got to have courage to look like that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
fuck yeah.
Like, fuck especially yeah. back then.
Especially back then yeah. in like the 90s in like the countryside of yeah. America, coming out as a 7 foot, 250 pound gay man, like yeah. flamboyantly Wait, gay. Well, his character was flamboyantly gay.
Yeah.
Oh,
true.
Yeah, and
Gold
I didn't pick yeah. up on it.
You're just like, damn, too, this guy dresses nice.
Yeah, he had the leotard. He was.
Yeah, and he like cool. used to like kiss the other wrestlers. Like, oh, fuck you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was great.
Hell All right. Yeah.
I don't know how we got to Goldust, but
yeah.
2019 resolutions, crazy in the brain. Mm-hmm. Joey Steele, be more like Goldust.
Please.
24 hours a day.
Definitely.
That's where we're at.
Be you. See, Goldust was authentically himself.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest influence. Goldust.
Oh, God.
All right. That's it. Everyone's fuck your 2019. I hope it goes, not you guys personally, but everybody else listening.
Signing off.
Yeah, yeah. I hope the world just ends in 2019. Get down. One of my favorite bands that I saw on this tour with Leftover Crack and Negative Approach and Crazy in the Brains was in, I think it was Tampa, Florida. I think this band is from Orlando, Florida, because they have a t-shirt about like defending Orlando or something like that, which I'm not going to hold against them because I spent some time in Orlando, and I'm not going to lie, it wasn't my favorite time in the world, but I have some friends in Orlando and they're good people. So I feel like maybe it's my problem. Maybe this is a problem for me. So I'm not going to shit talk Orlando super hard. And I feel like Florida's already getting it, you know, in every direction. So I'm just going to leave that alone, but I'm not even fucking sure if this band is from Orlando or not. Anyway, we saw them. We were playing with them in Tampa. They were an awesome band, really jaw-droppingly good, really fucking dug their tunes. This is a band called Cool Grandma. They're I think, like I said, they're from Florida, and I highly recommend them. I think it was probably my favorite band on tour. I really, really dug their tunes. So great, great vocalists, incredible band, and Cool Grandma. Get down. That's the end of the episode. I want to say thanks to Chris and Brett from Crazy in the Brains for coming all the way from New Jersey to do this podcast with us here in New York City. I know that's a long trek, and I really appreciate it. I think y'all have an incredible perspective. I think Crazy in the Brains is an amazing band, and I appreciate you coming on the podcast to help me break that down. Hopefully, y'all out there listening, check out Crazy in the Brains and understand it a little bit better now that you've heard these two incredible people talk about the music. But I think if you just give Crazy in the Brains a chance, I feel like if you listen to the album like once or twice all the way through this new album, End of the Ugly, or out in the weeds or anything like that, I feel like you're gonna get it. I feel like you're gonna understand where these guys are coming from. And once you get that, it's just downhill from there, man. It's just fucking, it's all crazy in the brains all the time. They're coming from such a beautiful, wonderful, inspirational, creative place. You're gonna be sold as soon as you start, as soon as you start biting into it. So give them a chance. Crazythebrains.bandcamp.com. Thank you to these guys for coming out and doing it. Thank you to everybody listening in for spending your time with us as you crawl into 2019. I think we're all going to do great things. I think 2019 is going to be our year. I think we're going to be taking stuff over. I think we're going to be shutting things down. And I think it's going to go well for us. I feel like it couldn't get... I feel like it's got to get better. I mean, honestly. I mean, it could get worse, but honestly, it's got. I feel like we're nearing the bottom of the barrel, and I feel like it's got to bottom out sometime, dude. I feel like 2019 is the time. I feel like it's right around the corner, and I feel like Dispatches from the Underground. I hope that we are part of your wonderful 2019. I hope that you can share us with the people around you. And hopefully we can help them deepen their perspective, be a little more conscious, be a little more empowered about getting out there and making this world their own, making it a better place, making it a more conscious and empowering place for people to fight for justice and fight against oppressors and empower those people who should have that power, the people who are thoughtful and reflective and want this world to be a better place. I feel like Dispatches can be part of that, should be part of that. Hopefully you share this show with people around you. Hopefully you put it on social media. Hopefully we are doing that for you and with you. And even if you don't feel like we are doing that enough, hopefully you have a good time listening to the show. And ultimately, I think that that's a worthwhile reason for you to listen. Hopefully we do enough shit talking amongst our perspective seeking to keep you interested in doing some more with us. I don't like doing that too. So anyway, thank you all for listening in. Hopefully 2019 is our year. If not, either way, we'll still be here in the underground, getting the shit done, making sure we're conscious, making sure we're empowering, and making sure that above all else, we're always fucking ready to get down. So get down. All right, we're going to end this episode with another tune from Crazy in the Brains. They just put out a brand new album like a month ago or something like that. The brand new album is called Into the Ugly. You can get it on their Bandcamp page, crazythebrains.bandcamp.com. This is the second tune off that album. The song is called Feng Yun, and it's a fantastic album. Make sure you go to that Bandcamp page right now. Get the album. If you're in New York City, you can come and see Crazy in the Brains playing January 11th at El Cortez. They're going to be opening up for Joe Jack from the Dead Milkmen, and it's going to be a good show, so don't miss that. If you missed them already, you fucked up. You missed this tour, you fucked up. Don't make that mistake anymore. Go get the fucking album, Into the Ugly by Crazy in the Brains. See them in New York if you're around, and if they come to a town near you, don't fuck up again. See them. Crazy in the Brains, get down. If you're lucky, you might run into me. I'm alone and looking for problems. Bumble very hard, act to follow. Meet me uptown, I'm a fanion. Trump leagues in a dark shores. Lace your boots and we off to school, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
forever.